I was going to start by talking about the day, how much fun you have today. I know you guys went on the river. Some of you went horseback riding. Some of you went swimming. But as I was preparing, I feel like God's going to do something special tonight. I do. And I felt this since before I even came here. I felt like that this was going to be a pivotal night. And I need you guys to do something for me tonight. And if I didn't think that you could handle it, and the Lord didn't think that you couldn't handle it, He wouldn't have asked me to bring it. But I need you to be brave tonight. Who can be brave for me? And one of the reason I need you to be brave, because we're going to talk about ourselves tonight. You need to be vulnerable. Vulnerable to what the Lord has for you. See, it's easy for us to get excited and jump up and down, right? That's all great. But the main thing, the main reason we came here is so we could get close to Jesus. And sometimes that means we have to put our heart in a position of vulnerability and just kind of open it up and say, here it is, Lord. It may not be pretty, but you can fix it. Thank you guys for being very attentive right now. I really appreciate your hearts. I really do. I want to talk to you guys tonight about battling insecurity. Just hang there for just a moment. Battling insecurity. How many of you guys have insecurities? We all have insecurities, right? All right. Listen. My goal this week, our theme is sparks. And our goal is to have a spark light something within us. But oftentimes, when there's things in us, they don't necessarily have to be sin, but there may be insecurities in us that will keep us from the call of God on our life. The enemy's pretty smart. The devil's pretty smart. He'll use insecurities to keep you from stepping into what God has for you. We talked about Abraham last night, and he had to get Lot out of his life. That was a representation of getting the sin out of our lives. But oftentimes, the enemy knows how to manipulate us. He knows how to talk to our feelings. He knows what makes us click, makes us go. But I want to talk to you about battling insecurities. Listen, you heard me say this last night. You have a calling. Everyone point at yourself and say, I have a calling. Everyone in here is called by God. Some of you may be called to preach. Some of you may be called to do worship at camp someday. Some of you may be called to be missionaries. Some of you may be called to be Christian veterinarians. Why do you add Christian on top of that? Because you're called to reach the world no matter whatever job you do. You could be a Christian mechanic or a Christian business owner. Because our job, and I said this last night, my job is to tell you about the Jesus that changed my life. And your job and your calling is to do the same thing to everybody you know. Say, oh, I'm young. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we all battle insecurities, right? Every one of us. I want to look at this text. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, that's in the Old Testament. I'll give you a second to find it for those of you who have your Bible. Who's taking notes tonight? All right, good, good. Jeremiah chapter 1, and if you don't have it, it'll be up here on the screen. It says this. It says, the Lord gave me this message. This is Jeremiah speaking. And the Lord speaking to him, he says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, this is Jeremiah speaking. He says, I can't speak for you because I'm too young. And the Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. How many think that's pretty cool that the Lord's protecting you? I like that. Look at this. I, the Lord, have spoken. Verse 9 says this, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth, and today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, and others you must build up and plant. Let's pray. God, tonight, will you make us vulnerable to you? God, it takes a brave person to open up their heart to you. Sometimes there's things that aren't very pretty, but tonight, God, as we look at insecurities, God, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reveal those things. God, I pray, Lord, you use me how you see fit tonight. God, don't let these be my words, but let these be your words. God, I pray, Lord, that your word would go forth in power and might. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So God gave this young man, Jeremiah, this calling and this assignment and a mission to preach to the nations. And he was the only one preaching at the time. You think it's tough? You think you got a tough calling? He was the only guy preaching at that time. One guy. How would you like that job? And not only is he the only guy preaching, but the nation really isn't listening to him. That would be really tough. But God tells him, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach to this nation. I want you to speak to this nation. And I need you to tell them they're going to go through a really tough time, but I am going to pull them through it. And that was his message. And that's what the Lord told him. But look at this. I want to show you something. Jeremiah, do you know how old he was when God called him at this moment? 17 years old. That's not much older than you guys. And some of you say, oh, I don't know if I could tell all my friends about Jesus. Jeremiah is 17 years old, and God's telling him, go speak to the nation. And you're the only one that's going to be speaking to the nation at the time. So he looks at this, and so there he is, and he says these two things. He gives God these two insecurities. God, I'm too young, and I don't know what to speak. He's insecure because he doesn't know what words to come forth. And secondly, God, who's going to take me serious because I am just a young man? And who's going to pay attention to me? But so God begins to reveal those things, and God begins to share with him. I read in our text that God says, hey, I'm going to put the words in your mouth. But I want to talk to you about insecurity. Everyone look at your neighbor, say insecurities. Jeremiah was insecure in himself because he was young and he didn't know what to say. Insecurities, the definition for insecurity is uncertainty or anxiety about oneself or lack of confidence. Anybody ever had a lack of confidence? I've been there. I know what that looks like. And one of the ways, listen, one of the tactics of the devil in your life is to cause insecurities to rise up, to prevent you from the call of God on your life. Look, Jeremiah, he questioned his own ability. And oftentimes you hear people say, hey, you have a call of God on your life. And the first thing you think is, I'm not qualified to do that. I can't speak. I'm too young. No one will listen to me. You don't know where I come from. You don't know my family situation. You don't know my background. But God begins to deal with Jeremiah. See, there's a lack of confidence in this generation. There's a lack of confidence in this generation. And here's the reason why. Because you don't know whose you are. When you know whose you are, you have confidence. When you know that Jesus is your Savior, you have a confidence because God's got you. Right? All right, come on, you guys with me? Say, I'm with you. All right, good, good. Hang with me. But Jeremiah, look, Jeremiah, by praying to God, he makes himself very vulnerable, and he says, God, I'm too young. I don't even know what to say. He does. He opens up the door, and he says, hey, God, here I am. I'm vulnerable. These are the two things that are bugging me about this calling. It wasn't the fact that he was speaking to the nation. It was just, hey, I'm too young, and I don't know what to say. And insecurities, listen to me, insecurities will keep you from the call of God in your life. And they make us stop walking forward. We talked about Abraham walking forward in the blessing, but insecurities will make us go, should I take this step? I know the Lord's telling me to do this. I know the Lord's wanting me to do this, but should I take this step? I don't know if I could do this. And so we won't get out of ourselves. But I want to look at some insecurities tonight. And the first insecurity I want to look at tonight is this, the insecurity of acceptance. All right? And I'm going to ask my friend Rachel to come down here. And this is my first insecurity, not being accepted. How many have ever not been accepted by friends? You wanted to be someone's friend or you wanted to be a part of a group and they didn't accept you. How did that make you feel? Right? Made you feel bad. But listen, this is the problem with acceptance. Listen, this is the problem with acceptance. Oftentimes, we will follow a crowd just to be accepted, even if it's right or wrong. When you're insecure in who you are, you will go to a place that makes you secure, even if it's against what God wants for you. The acceptance of others. Hey, it's called peer pressure. Anybody ever heard that? They used to say that all the time when I was in school. Peer pressure. And what happens is when you get around your friends, you begin to act like your friends, you begin to talk like your friends, you begin to do the things that your friends are doing, and you know it's not right, but you do it. Why? So you could be what? Accepted. That's it. It doesn't make you cool. It just means that you're accepted by your friends. But here's the thing. When we are accepted by our friends, oftentimes when it leads us into a bad place, it puts us in a place that we're not feeling like we're accepted with the Lord. It puts us at odds. Right? Everyone say acceptance. All right. This oftentimes is us. I know I shouldn't be doing these things with my friends, but if I do it, I know I'll be accepted. How many of you have ever made dumb decisions just because your friends made a dumb decision? One more time, say acceptance. Here's the second one I want to talk about. Is this one right here, and this is a tough one. Comparison. Comparison. This is an insecurity when we compare ourselves. Come on, Tiago. How many of you guys compare yourself to your friends? How many of you guys compare yourselves to your friends on social media, on TikTok? YouTube, right? How many of you guys, listen, we live in a world where everybody compares everything to everyone else. What are they doing? So we got to do it, right? And listen, comparison is the thief of joy. It is. Because what happens, and that's a big statement. I know that's a big statement. But when we compare ourselves to others, you know what happens? We lose our authenticity. We say, hey, I'm not special enough for people to notice me, for God to notice me, so I got to be like someone else. Did you know that God made you authentic to you? Only you. There is only one you in this world. There's not another one. Don't be a copy. And oftentimes when we are comparing, we just try to duplicate or be a copy of someone else. And God didn't call you to be a copy. He called you to be an original. Say, I don't have many friends. I must not be that good. And you might say this, hey, I'm not as talented as them. Right? Maybe I'm not as good as on the basketball court as this person. I'm constantly in comparison. Maybe I'm not as smart as this person, but comparison Man, it's an insecurity that we all oftentimes deal with, but comparison is a lie that all too often we believe and we think we need. Here's another one. This is a tough one. How about low self-esteem? So we got, everyone say acceptance. Everyone say comparison. And everyone say this, low self-esteem. Come help me, Pastor Brad. Let's hear it up for Pastor Brad. Hang on. Low self-esteem. You know what insecurity does? Look, when we make comparisons of other people, when we want acceptance from other people, when we don't understand who our identity is, it causes a low self-image of ourselves. When we don't understand whose we are, we'll follow what we think will lead to great things. But let me tell you something. Jesus chose you. He chose you a long time ago. But look, insecurity. Many of us say, hey, my nose is too big. My ears stick out. I'm too fat. I'm too tall. I'm too skinny. I wish I had more hair. We all have insecurities. Right? We all have these issues, and we all, you know, at times we're there, and we say, oh, man, nobody likes me because my ears stick out. You know what? That makes you unique. It does. Listen. Our self-esteem and our confidence comes from God. It does. As believers, it comes from God. It's not about our own ability, because I could tell you this, the older I get and the more I get into ministry, the less I realize that I know and I need God. Honestly, I'm being honest, I'm being open, I'm being vulnerable right now to you guys. I'm telling you something. And if my self-esteem comes from people building me up, that means my worth can go down when they tear me down. If that's the only place that my self-esteem comes from is someone constantly being like, hey, this, you're good, you're good looking, this, and then when they come up and say, no, you're really ugly, and this and that and that, and they could tear me down just like that. Low self-esteem is something that the enemy uses against us. Here's another one. How about failing? Everyone say acceptance. Everyone say comparison. Everyone say low self-esteem. Failure. Where you at, Will? Hold up, guys. I need you guys, just hang with me just a few minutes here, okay? Hang with me just a few minutes. Failing. You know what? In life, there's times that you're going to fail. Anybody ever failed a test? All right, thank you for being honest, right? Hang on. Shh. And here's the thing. Nobody ever starts a class at school that says, hey, I'm going to fail this class. They never go in. They may try, and they may end up failing. But sometimes when we think that we're going to fail right out of the gate, we just stop. I'm just giving up. Right? It's true. So, and we say this, hey, if I do this, if I try out for the basketball team, they may not pick me. I may fail, so I might as well not even try. I might as well not even give it a shot. And what if I fail? And what if it doesn't go so good? Can I give you some good advice? Look at me. I'm going to give you some good advice. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. Some of you say, hey, I'd rather not even get started than to fail. I'd rather not even try starting. I don't even want to deal with failure, so I'm not even going to do anything. And you know what that is? That's fear. That's fear coming in and saying, oh, you can't do this, you're going to fail, so you might as well not even try. And that's the enemy. That's what the enemy says. Hey, you have a call of God on your life, and you say, oh, I'm just going to fail. I might as well not get started. That's the enemy lying to you. See, the insecurity of failing is a lie, and that will keep us from moving towards God's calling and blessing. Here's another one. Everyone say worthiness. Everyone say acceptance. Comparison. Low self-esteem. Failure. Worthiness. Worthiness. Come on, G. Hang with me, guys. Hang with me. Worthiness says this. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be good enough. I have a past. I've made mistakes. God can't use me. God can't use me. The insecurity of worthiness stems from a lie that stems from guilt. Comes from guilt. You know, I feel bad for what I've done, and there's no way that anyone would ever give me a shot. There's no way that God could use me because I've made mistakes. And we carry the guilt of our mistakes. And I failed God, so I'm unworthy. And I the Bible says this, though our sins are scarlet and red, you know, and that's that, like, they're really bright, is what it says. But the scripture tells us that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he washed them white as snow. That's what he did. And so oftentimes when we mess up and we ask for God's forgiveness, man, we struggle with guilt. But the Bible says this, that when God forgives us, he actually forgets about our sin. And then we go back and we're like, God, I feel guilty about this. You know what God does? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What sin are you talking about? Because scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, he throws away. He forgets about it. He forgives you. How many are thankful for that? Amen? When we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us. So here's my points here. Insecurity deals with us all in different ways. This is what I want to do. You can hop back up there on the keyboard there. Would you guys stand? Oh, you guys stand right here. If you've got a poster board, I want you to stand. Only if you've got a poster board. Everyone else, sit down. I want you to hold your poster board up. I want you to look around, students. I want you to look around. I want you to look at your leaders. These are leaders from different places, different walks of life. Some are youth pastors. Some are pastors. Some are interns. Some are counselors. These are insecurities that they've dealt with or are dealing with. I just ask them to pray about it and to just write it down. And you know what? This is tough. This is being vulnerable. You know how hard it is to throw your heart out there and say, hey, this is something I struggled with. This is something that tripped me up. I want to show you something. This is Rachel. She's a youth pastor. She struggled with acceptance. This is Pastor Brad. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tiago. Sorry, but he's got more hair than Pastor Brad. And Tiago is from Brazil, and he'll go anywhere for the Lord, I promise you. But listen, even though he's done great things and he's come to America to serve and to do all these things, he struggled with comparison. This is Pastor Brad. Pastor Brad, did you catch that? Pastor Brad. And at one point, struggled with low self-esteem. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. This is Will. Will's life. Failure. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm afraid I'm going to fumble the ball on fourth and one and the goal line. Gee, worthiness. I'm not good enough. How could God use me? Why would God use me? Now, I want you guys to do something. Just stay in this moment. Stay in this moment. I've got someone's going to hand you guys all a little note card. I need you guys to sit still, okay? Don't talk to your friends. You don't need to talk to your friends. They're going to hand you a note card. Look at me. Look at me. Shh, shh. They're going to hand you a note card. They're going to hand you a pen. I want you to take the next 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, and write down maybe an insecurity that you have. Say, I don't know what my insecurities are. Look, there's some examples. Not good enough. Comparison. Acceptance. Others' opinions. I can't read yours. Not being good enough. Unworthy. Lack self-confidence. Not enough. Self-esteem. Listen, don't talk to your neighbor. Hey, do me a favor. take the next 5 minutes. Don't talk to your neighbor, but I want you to talk to the Lord. Say, hey, God, I'm going to open up my heart here.